one of those things, and again, this could be a long series to look at all those things. I'm just going to pick one of them this evening. In the book of 1 John, and in your Bible, in 1 John this evening, if you follow, and I've got a number of verses I want to share with you tonight. This is a Bible study time, so you should have your Bible, you should have a notebook and a pen, Addie's got her notebook up here with her doodles in it. And I told her it looked like a road puppy. Never mind. It's the cutest notebook right there. 1 John chapter number 1 in your Bible. And beginning in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what?
Light.
And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In him is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, sometimes when we talk about light, we say, well, the different shades are a mixture of light and darkness. No, there's no darkness with God. Everything about that light shows us something about God. Now, let me just give you some things about light, okay? There are many forms of light. Only a very small few forms of light are visible to our human eyes. Most of them we have no idea that they even exist. Each one of them has a unique wavelength to it. So if your senses were all encompassing like God, or maybe like Adam was before the fall, you would not only see light, you would be able to hear light. You'd be able to smell light. They involve all of our senses. We think of light as something that we see, but it is much more than that. And science even tells us that there's something that light can be heard. And each one is unique. In Revelation 4, John described, in verse number 3, he described a rainbow encircling the throne of God. And this is really where I got thinking about this a month or so ago when I was looking at that chapter. And that rainbow, he says it's around the throne, but then as he described that rainbow as a complete circle, he described it as a solid object. He said it's an emerald. An emerald is something solid. And he's describing a rainbow. Now, we don't think of a rainbow that way because we just see a rainbow. We can't experience it. And the spectrums of light, they're called, were for the third word spectrum was first coined by Isaac Newton. And he came up with, originally he had 6, but then he changed it to 7 different spectrums of light that our eyes can see. Not only colors, but different shades, different lights that you can see. And he did a lot of research on lights. I think Isaac Newton was by far the greatest modern scientist there ever was. And science was redefined when Darwin came on the scene. But anyways, there may be, and I have no doubt that there is, as science tells us, there are thousands, if not millions, of different kinds of spectrums of light that we can't see. I have a feeling that there's an infinite number of them. that science could never even find. For example, when you think of the spectrums of light that we can't see, how does a bat see? By the way, a bat can see better than you and I can, but he doesn't have any eyes. He can see something with no eyes. You watch a bat fly, I think they're one of the most fascinating animals. There's a lot of false ideas about bats, how they're dangerous, and they all have rabies, and all that's ridiculous. But they're one of the, and they're just kind of scary to us, because how can something that has no eyes see so well? Because he doesn't see lights that you and I see. They're called the electronic wavelengths that he sees, or what we call radar. By the way, I like to ask, what do acronyms stand for? What does radar stand for? Anybody know? Rex would probably, he would know. Yeah, he'd make it up. It means radio detection and ranging. That's what radar means. Radio detection and ranging. The lights astronomers see in their modern telescopes are not visual to our eyes. You know, you see these fabulous pictures that a telescope out in space took. Those colors are all made up because they're not seeing colors. If you were to look at the real picture, it just looked like a blob. But they're detecting lights that are not visible to our eyes. They're seeing wavelengths, and each one of them has an individual range or frequency. It's the lights that astronomers see are only the computerized visuals of something that's impossible for us to see. And there are a lot of different things. I won't spend all my time here, though it's fascinating to me. Gravity is a form of light. Science tells us that. All light is a form of energy. All light produces heat. Some, of course, more heat than others. You think of a laser light. Ever laser surgery? To me, that's one of the most scary things. What if they have that power turned up a little bit too much? I had them fry my laser light on my eyes when I had eye surgery, and the craziest thing was you could smell flesh burning when they were frying your eye. What if they torch that up a little bit too much and it goes, but they got that, there are so many different kinds, and some of course are much more powerful. And light is necessary for all of life. Photosynthesis is the process by which green plants and certain other organisms transfer light into energy that causes biological life or sustains biological life. The balance of proper lighting and the Earth's atmosphere is something that there's one of the greatest evidence that there's somebody behind all this. The amount of different light rays that get through our atmosphere is so sensitive. It's an amazing thing that couldn't have possibly happened just by chance. I've always enjoyed having fish aquariums. For a while, I had a saltwater aquarium. And to me, the most fascinating thing about that is something that most people look at, yeah, that's a cute little fish. But I wasn't concerned about the fish. I was having growing coral in there. The most difficult thing in growing the coral is keeping the proper light in there, the proper spectrums of light. And now with LED lights, that would be much easier, but I've given up on it. When I was growing coral, I had fluorescent lighting. And you see, like a grow bulb for plants. And what most people don't know, well, the light's still working. It's still good. Why aren't the plants growing anymore? And coral is, in a sense, a plant, but is much more sensitive than a plant. And the proper lights that are given through that fluorescent light, and I'm spending too much time, the proper rays are created by the gas that's inside of that fluorescent tube. After that tube is 6 months old, that gas is leaked out, and it's no longer giving the proper colors of light. Now, you can't see the colors, You might see some of the cut, but you can't see them all. And you can't see all the colors in the light of the sun. But I say all that, and I hope I didn't lose you too much. I'm going to geek out too much here, but God says that He is light. In fact, here's a verse that kind of confuses me. In James chapter 1, in verse number 17, don't turn there. We'll turn some other verses here in a bit. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no variable. And by the way, that word variableness means like, well, everything's different. Oh, God's always different depending on which angle you're looking at. But that word variableness is only used one time in the Bible, and it's used right here. And a proper understanding of that word, as best I can do it without going into a long study, the variableness means that in God, every form of light is contained. God is light. Not that He's different to one person than He is to the other person, but within Him, light is perfect and complete in Him. Now, with that, that's just by way of introduction. Let me give you some things here that we'll look in the Bible here and give you a number of verses. First of all, I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter number 1 in the first verses of the Bible. And I will say this. First of all, number 1, light is revelation. God reveals Himself through every one of His attributes. Everything that He says He is, when He says He's life, every form of life reveals something about God. When God says He is light, everything about light reveals something about God. In Genesis chapter number 1, look at verse number 1. You know the first couple of verses of your Bible. Most of you could probably quote them without looking at them, but I want to look at some other things in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse number 1 and 2, every element that this whole universe consists of was created in verse number 1 and 2. Everything was put in place. If you can picture it this way, how many kids have Legos at home? How many adults have Legos? Send the kids to bed and I'm going to play the Legos, right? If you picture a big box of Legos and you're going to build something out of those Legos, and you take them and they're all in a big box and you dump them on there, everything's right there. Now they just have to be pieced together. That's what God did. He created everything. It was all there. Now He's just going to piece it all together. And what's the first thing that He begins, that He uses to piece them together? Every element was created in the first two verses. Yet there's no order. Everything's just random. Everything's just explosive. Literally, you talk about the Big Bang. There it is. It's just a constant eruption. No order to the chaos. In the rest of the chapter, God is dividing or separating or putting things in their proper order. Everything was darkness until God began to reveal Himself. Did you see that? Everything was dark. It was form, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. God's original creation was all dark because God hadn't begun to reveal Himself yet. And then in verse number 3, it says, and God said, as He said, this is revelation, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good and divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. This is the first 24-hour period of God's creation. Until then, everything was just explosive, willy-nilly, right? Just kind of going everywhere. There was no order to anything. And this was the first step of God revealing himself to his creation. And then you jump all the way down to the fourth day of creation, down in verse number 14. And I'm going to take time to go. I'd like to go through all the days, but we won't do that. Jump down to verse number 14. And God said, "Let there be lights," plural, "in the firmament, in the heaven, to divide the day from night." And by the way, God already created the animal or the plants that were dependent upon light. There was already light, but there wasn't a source that man could see, that we could see of light. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God sent them in the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. At evening and the morning were the fourth day. The fourth day, God put the lights in the firmament, the sun and the moon and the stars. And notice he said in verse number 15, to give light upon the earth and also to divide the light from the darkness in verse number 18. Now again, this is God revealing himself to man. The first source of God revealing himself to man is in the form of light. And the light that we see comes from the sun, the moon, the stars, and in the sky. Now, jump, if you will, to Psalm chapter number 19. Again, light is God's revelation. Light is God revealing himself to us. In Psalm 19, that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." The word glory has in it the idea of light. Shows that God is light, that he is a source of all light. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. The stars in the sky show the handiwork, the creating power of God. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Notice the parallel here. The light is words. God showing himself through that light with words that are spoken in every language. That is the light, the glory of God. All the ancient religions, they begin with worshiping the source of light in heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars, and because that is the greatest evidence that there is a God. I'm not much of an astronomer, but I do know that different astronomers have told me that very few astronomers believe in evolution, because all the magnificence you see in the lights in outer space, God says they declare the glory of God. They declare that somebody had to be designing this. Now, who they choose to be God is could be a million different things. But you'll hardly ever find, you will find some that say they are, but in public, but in private, they might whisper to you, there's got to be a creator. There's got to be somebody behind all this. The heavens declare the glory. Light is a revelation. It's the first revelation of God, of himself to us. But then God gave a better revelation. In fact, the rest of this chapter talks about that better revelation, how God better revealed himself to us. In verse number 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Of course, all that's talking about the Word of God. This book refines the revelation of God's light. God gave us, revealed that He exists, that He is through the light of creation, but then gave us a book for further revelation to better reveal Himself. In fact, Psalm 119 and verse 105. You probably know that verse without looking at it. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God gives us further or a better revelation. So light is a revelation, but a better revelation is the Bible. And even a better revelation than the Bible. Again, God revealing Himself. How's God going to show Himself to us? Well, He showed Himself to us through the light of creation. Some we can see, some we can't see. And then God revealed Himself to a better revelation, the Bible. But then He came up with even a better revelation in John chapter number 9. Turn to John chapter number 9. I'm going to look through a couple of verses here. We'll have to go quickly to find them. We'll have a Bible drill, all right? John chapter number 9. Somebody find it? John chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 1. And Jesus talks about healing a blind man. A blind man that was born. I won't read all the verses. A blind man that was born blind, and the disciples ask, as Greek legend taught, if somebody was born with a handicap, that's because of a sin that he committed in a previous life, or his parents have committed, and the Jews believe that too, because they were influenced by Greek mythology. So they asked him that question. And Jesus said in verse number 3, neither is this man sin nor sin, but though the works of God might be manifest or revealed through him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now Jesus performed this miracle for this one statement in verse number 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the what? Light of the world. Even a better revelation than the Word of God is Jesus Himself. God became man to reveal God to us. And then, of course, Jesus left the world. We go all the way through Gospel of John and see that in John 14, 15, and 16, and 17. But go back to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, Christ is said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Is Jesus in the world anymore? Well, technically, He is at the right hand of God the Father, but He's in the world through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, where does the person of the Holy Spirit live? In Matthew chapter number 5, and verse number, and we say, well, the good answer, He lives everywhere, right? But He specifically resides in the heart of His people. Revelation, or Matthew chapter number 5. Did I say Matthew? Matthew 5, that's where I am. Matthew 5 and verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A better revelation than the light that shines from the heaven is the Bible. And a better revelation than that is Christ, who came into this earth to die for our sins, to reveal something about God to us, to reveal the person of God to us. In Him dwelleth the Godhead bodily. But now God gave you a better revelation in dwelling us as Christians, the Holy Spirit of God. And the focus of that revelation is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians 4, and again, these are verses you may know already. When I start reading them, you'll recognize them if you don't recognize the reference already. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Seeing then, therefore, we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, or manifest the truth, condemning ourselves or every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves the servants for Jesus' sake. Maybe the better revelation is not only the Bible, but Christ, the Holy Spirit, and then the gospel. Remember when that light came on in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior? All of a sudden, I like the psalm, earth around was softer blue. Something lives in every hue. Since I know as now I know that I am His and He is mine. When Moses met God at the burning bush, he saw a bright light. When Saul on the road to Damascus met Jesus, he was struck down by blindness because of the bright light. When John on the island of Patmos in Revelation chapter number 1 was blinded by the brightness of His glory when Jesus he was transfigured before His disciples, He shone a little bit more the glory of God, and they had to hide their eyes from Him. The gospel in our lives ought to demonstrate the glory of God or the light of God. That's a better, light is the first revelation. A better revelation is the Bible and Christ and the gospel, but one day we're going to see a perfect revelation. We're going to see God for who He is. Two passages of Scripture we're going to turn to and we'll be done. The first one's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and sometimes we, and I don't think it's incorrect to say what you've often heard said, what this is speaking of here, but I think it's much greater than that. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, oftentimes, preaching today, you hear, well, that's talking about the Bible. And I don't think that's incorrect. But that's just the hem of the garment. When that which is perfect is... You see, we have a perfect book here, but we don't live in a perfect world. When that which is really perfect, when all perfection is come... That's what we're looking at. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We only see some light now. One day we're going to see it all. One day we're going to see light that's not even possible for us to see. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I always look at that verse in my life, and I look back and, you know, when you were a kid, you did some dumb things. Some of us still do plenty of dumb things. But then when you became an adolescent, boy, I was sure dumb when I was a little kid. Then you become a teenager. Boy, when I was an adolescent, well, I was sure dumb back then. But now I'm a teen, and then you're a young adult. Boy, I really did some dumb things back every step along life. You look back and say, oh, I sure was foolish then. But now I have, and you're going to, that final step is when we see all of the light. For now, look at verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We can only see part of it. And you picture this, a glass darkly or a tainted or tinted window or stained glass window. You can see light, but you can't make out the colors. You can't make out figures through that light. That's what it is now when we try to understand what heaven is. We just know there's light over there that we can't see coming through it. And now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. One day I'm going to see Him face to face in all of His glory. And that's the perfect revelation. In one other place, we'll turn to the last chapter of the Bible. Actually, the last two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. Revelation 21 and 22, won't read all of it, though it's all good. It's all describing the New Jerusalem floating down from heaven from the clouds. And John got a glimpse of it. And in his human frailty. He tried to describe it to us, but he could not fully explain what heaven we can, our mind cannot comprehend what heaven or the New Jerusalem looks like. Brother Rex is seeing it right now. Amen. Those that have gone before us are seeing it. You know, seeing God face to face. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass, perfect gold that you can see through. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. God is light. And the nations of which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there, and there shall bring the glory the glory and honor of nations unto it. And there shall be no wise enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, for maketh lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river, there were a tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of a sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever. We're going to see him in his full glory. Every spectrum of light that we can't even imagine right now, we're going to see it. And it's a and John earlier in the book of Revelation described it as a rainbow encircling and encompassing the throne as a solid stone, as a solid object. That light. And the light that we see now reveals just a little bit of God's glory. And the Word of God reveals more of His glory. Jesus Christ came into the world to show us more of God's glory. And the Holy Spirit lives in us that we can know more of His glory and share more of His glory through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one day, we're going to see that perfect revealing of God in the fullness of His glory and the fullness of His light. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a hope we have in Him. Father, I pray.